died when I was like 46, you know. He was in a band called War, and then it ended, and that was it, you know. And where is he? Nobody knows where he is. Well, maybe now I'm on Google, he'll figure out who I am and where I am.
Dylan song. Dylan about 1980, 81, 82, something like that, 80 or 81. He did three CDs or albums, okay, all Christian songs. I think he wrote all of them, and that's one of them. Yeah, cool song. And you do have to serve somebody one way or the other. You're either serving the devil or you're serving the Lord. That is correct. Okay, let me pray and get us into this. Lord, I just pray that you get the folks here that are on the way. And I pray, Lord, if some people are sort of on the edge, whether to come or not, that you'll give them the boost they need. And I just pray, Lord, that we'll all hear from you today through your word, Lord, and we'll walk out of here knowing what you want us to know. And thank you, God, so much for your grace. Thank you, God, for making salvation a free gift that anyone can qualify for simply by coming to you through Jesus. And just hold this day up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to be going from verse 18 to chapter 4, verse 1. And we are getting near the end of Colossians. A little letter was written by the Apostle Paul that God inspired. And so far, we've learned that anyone who comes to the Lord through Jesus, ask him to forgive their sins, places their faith in him. God forgives their sins. He says they're nailed to the cross along with our certificate of debt to him. Nailed to the cross that he died on for us. And then after that, he goes on to tell us to seek him and his kingdom and think about the things above. Think about where you're going. Think about how God can use you here and now, which he wants to do for all of us and with all of us. And then he tells us to live the new life that he's given us, because everyone who places their trust in Christ, he gives us a new life, a new identity. We're the same person. We got the same memories and all that, but we are a new person as far as he's concerned. We've got a new identity as his people, as his child. And he tells us that as we do that, to recognize how we should relate to each other. And this is what Adam talked about a lot last week, how we're to love each other and relate to each other, to everybody, everybody. And today he's sort of bringing it more home. And he talks about how we should relate to each other in family relationships. Husband and wife. Parents and child, and then he ends with employer-employee relationships, how we're supposed to treat each other and relate with each other. So that's what we're going to be talking about. So God tells us right out of the gate, he wants us to love each other. Okay, characteristics of our calling. I'm backing up a little bit and stealing from what Adam did last week for a couple, three verses, just as a reminder. Here's what he said to us. This is God speaking. So, as those who have been chosen of God, us people, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, forgive. That sounds pretty radical, doesn't it? Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive others. beyond all these things, then put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. This is what Adam was talking about last week. And this is God's words to all of us who know him. So he says, have this kind of heart toward one another, toward others. Okay. Look at this. Be compassionate with everybody, not just the people you like. Be compassionate. Be kind to other people, even the ones you don't like, even the ones that haven't treated you well. Be humble. In other words, don't try to lord it over people. Meet them on their level and talk to them. Hang out with them. Be gentle. These are all words from that first thing we just read. Be gentle with everybody. Consider their feelings. Be patient. Now, there's a real challenge for a lot of us right there. Be patient with other people. Don't rush them too much. Understand if they just don't catch on as fast as you think they should. Be long-suffering. Put up with some stuff, okay, to get to know other people and to have relationships with them, to be good to them, to be kind to them. You know, there's people out there that really need this. There's people out there, they don't have it. Maybe you've got these kind of relationships, but some people don't, a lot of people. And he says, be forgiving. Forgive, regardless of what it is. He says, forgive it. Why? Why does he tell us to do this? Because this is the kind of heart God has toward us. And he wants us to represent him the right way. And this is him. This is his heart. So it's a big challenge as far as I'm concerned. And it's something I think it takes a lifetime to learn even how to do halfway. But God will bring us along in this because this is a big deal. He wants us to reflect him. I'll go ahead and tell you right now, one of the reasons he wants us to reflect him is because he wants other people that don't know him to be drawn to him through you and me. It's part of our role. So here in John 15, he sort of sums everything up. This is my commandment, that you love one another. He's talking about all people here, not just each other. Just as I have loved you. And Jesus said this to us shortly before he went to the cross and died, laid down his life for us voluntarily. So the next thing we're going to look at here is what does this look like in the family and the workplace? I know when I first read this, I thought, well, that's pretty simple. And then I got to looking at it and thinking about it and looking at it and so forth. And I thought, there's some stuff here I really need to think about. Okay, our passage today takes us to what I just got through telling you. And family relationships and work relationships, okay? Now you stop and think about it. It makes sense that he takes us there because about 90% of our time or more is spent in our family relationships or in our work relationships. That's the way it is. That's where we spend most of our time. So, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And then he says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh to them. So we'll go with ladies first. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. The ladies first, what's the lady's role? The lady's role is to be subject to her husband. Okay. What's that mean? In Ephesians, it says the same thing just about. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. It simply means this. Well, I'll tell you what it doesn't mean, number one. It doesn't mean women are inferior to men, okay? It doesn't mean women are loved less talented, less valued, or anything like that. women are equal to men. They simply have a different role than the man does. And we're going to talk about the man's role next. But right here it says, be subject to your husband. That means be willing to defer to your husband. Okay? You know? You've seen any of these old movies, Groucho Marx, or I can't remember these other guys, you know, a couple of people at the door. No, you first. No, you go ahead. No, you go ahead. Okay? This sort of thing. Be willing to defer to your husband. What do you think, hon? I don't really know. Give me, what do you think? We're tied on this. And again, it doesn't mean a woman's less valued, less intelligent, anything. It simply means she's willing to let the man lead when it's appropriate or when it's needed. Okay? And I'll give you an example when it's needed. There's something you can't figure out what to do. She can't figure it out, you can't figure it out, and you both have different opinions. That's an important deal. Okay? What it's saying here is the wife is to defer to the husband and let him make the final decision and back him up on it as well as she can. So that's basically what we're talking about here, the woman's role. And it's got to be voluntary, and it should be warranted by the woman's knowledge that her husband loves her unselfishly, cares about her, values her. That's part of the marriage relationship. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, whoops. Now it says, husbands, underlined, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. Husbands, love your wife and don't be harsh with her. Two things, right? The husband's role hangs on two things. Sounds pretty simple. Love your wife. Don't be harsh with her. Now that word that says, the word love, where it says husbands love your wives, there's a word in the Bible for love called agape. Some of you are familiar with it. A-G-A-P-E. And that is sacrificial love. Okay? That's the love that God demonstrates to us. That's the love he demonstrated to us when he hung on the cross. Sacrificial love. Okay? When it says God loved the world, he loved the world enough for his son to be able to be willing to sacrifice himself on the cross. And the Father was willing to see it happen to accomplish his purposes. This is the kind of love that God calls on husbands to have toward their wives. Sacrificial love, caring love, a concern for the wife's welfare, her well-being. Okay? And I think wives know when that's existent and when it's not. And it's the kind of love that God shows us. A husband, that says also, should never be harsh. Okay? Surly. Do we know what surly is? I don't want to talk about it right now. I'll talk to you about it later. Okay? I'm good at that. Uncaring. I just really don't care to hear it, you know, whatever it is from you right now. Or this word I call the boss dog. Okay? The boss dog, he just likes to tell his wife what to do. Do this, do that, and so forth and so on. Get out of my way, and I'm blah, blah, blah. Okay? I'm sure none of us have ever been that way. I hope not anyhow. But don't be this kind of a person with your wife. Don't be harsh. Be gentle. Be kind. Understanding. Ephesians chapter 5 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. This is a heavy role, guys. It's not just, hey, give me a kiss and a hug and let's do this or whatever. It's love your wife, care for your wife, watch out for her welfare. Be willing to love your wife sacrificially. In other words, if it's going to cost you a little bit to do something for your wife that will be beneficial to her, think about doing it, okay? Don't just blow it off. I'll give you an example. Encourage your wife to grow spiritually. Okay? Encourage her. Tell your wife, hey, honey, I realize home church is tonight, and we'd both like to go. Well, why don't you go, and I'll stay home with the kids? Okay? That's sacrificial love. Or why don't you take this class? I know you'll really love this class. We got a lot of classes, good classes in Zenos. Take this class. It's 3 hours a week for 10 weeks. You'll grow a lot. You'll learn a lot. I'll stay with the kids, and you go. That's a good example. I know guys that do that on a regular basis. I also know guys that I don't think it even enters their mind, okay, to tell their wife, I'll stay with the kids and watch them while you go, wherever. This is sacrificial love. And the other thing you want to do is, have you heard of what they refer to as love languages? Love languages. I thought all women had the same love language. I never even heard the term love language till a few years ago. But anyhow, love language is something that makes a woman feel loved. I used to think if you bought them a bunch of flowers and came home and gave them a hug and told them to have a great day and maybe went to a movie, they'd just eat that up. Some do. Some can care less, okay? I'm sorry, guys. Some can care less about flowers. I didn't like that either. Here's some love languages. There's about 5 or 7 different love languages. I can't remember, but one of them is physical touch. Some women really enjoy being hugged and kissed and all that sort of stuff, physical touch. And we can get into that, I'm sure. Some women really feel loved when you buy them a gift. When you take the time to buy them a gift, maybe a little book or something like that, that you know that they wanted. They feel loved by that. Some women feel loved simply by having special time spent together. Okay. When the guy puts everything aside, I don't care what it is, and honey, you and I are going to spend this time together, this day. Or whatever. I'm not talking about 10 minutes. Well, maybe 10 minutes if that's all you got. But spend time together. Is anything registering with anybody? Okay. Words of affirmation. You know. I'm really proud of you. You don't realize it, but you really impacted people in a great way. But don't be lying. Don't be making it up. Be telling them the truth. And there are many women right in here that need to hear, or they should hear that, whether that's their love language or not. Because a lot of women I know of that come around here, they do impact people very well. Okay? And they would benefit by somebody just recognizing it, particularly their husband. And the last one I'm going to mention is this. I know somebody whose love language is this. Okay, I learned it the hard way. It is acts of service. Okay. Doing things for your wife that need to be done, that you know she wanted done, and simply, you know, you don't say anything, you just go do it. It may be mowing the yard, I don't know. It may be buying a stove and putting up a hood over top of it that you really need bad instead of just installing a stove like I did, all right? Putting that hood up is an act of love as far as he's concerned. I know that. Okay. So I'm ready for any guys who want to volunteer to help me do that after the meeting. Don't laugh. Anyhow, acts of service, that's another love language the women have. So anyhow, guys, love your wives. That's our role. Make them feel loved. Let them know their love. Give them security. Spend time with them. Think about them. All right. And don't forget acts of service. Okay, that's husband and wife. Now we're talking about children. Children, be obedient. to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Parents, don't exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Children. We'll talk about children first, parents next. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Notice something about this. It says, children, be obedient to your parents. It's not addressed to parents, is it? It's not addressed, parent, tell your child to be obedient to you. Okay. This is written in such a way that the child is supposed to read this, right? Now, little kids, when they're, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, or maybe 5's different, 2, 3, 4, they can't read, can they? I don't know anybody have some of them may, I don't know. But generally speaking, they don't. And generally speaking, we're all rebellious little animals when we come out of the womb, okay? And you can forget about telling them to be obedient anyhow, up to a certain age. So up to that time, you know, we treat them like little kids, and we've got to do whatever we got to do with them to keep them in line and so forth, and for their own good, for their security. But after they get older, okay, show them this. Let them read it when they can read. Don't think it cannot have an impact on a child. A young child, once they can read, I don't know, 6, 7 years old, whatever, when they can read this and you can tell them this is God's word speaking to you, don't think that cannot have an impact with the child, because it can. And it gives God a start in building their character through his word. I know this sounds very basic. It might sound silly to you, but this would not be written that way if this was not at least one of the ways God wants to communicate it to the child. Let the child read it as soon as the kid is old enough to read it. So they got to have a certain level of maturity. That's common sense, but you understand what I'm saying. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, this is interesting, I thought. In Hebrews, it says this. Now, this is directed to adults. He says, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you and me as sons and daughters. For what son or daughter is there whom his father or mother does not discipline? God disciplines us. Because he loves us, because he cares about us. That's the reason he does it. And we are supposed to discipline our children for the very same reason, because we love them, because we care about them. Okay? Let me ask you this. Have you ever been around or in a situation where there's a child or a couple of children that have not been disciplined running around? And the mom or the dad says, Georgie, quit doing that. Now I've told you, don't do that again. Don't. 5 minutes later, Georgie's doing the same thing, okay? And 10 minutes later, and a half an hour later, still doing the same thing. And you're going nuts saying, why don't you take some action, okay? Anyhow, children need to be disciplined. Adults need to be disciplined. God gives us discipline when he thinks we need it. You know, I could probably think of some examples of that, and I probably should have, but I can't think of anything right now. Well, I don't know. Maybe you don't get the job that you wanted because you weren't ready for it or whatever, but God disciplines us. We need to discipline our kids. And again, it says, children, obey your parents. This is in Ephesians chapter 6. In the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. This, I think, you know, the Ten Commandments, I believe this is the tenth commandment. And this commandment comes with a promise. The rest of them don't. And it says, honor your father and mother so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Basically, it's promising good things for a child later if he obeys his parents. I think you can see why. Now, It says, honor your father and mother. Children should honor their father and mother. That's very important when they're a child. And when they're older, that same child should honor his or her father and mother. We should always honor our father and mother. It's very important. It can be a very bad thing when we do not honor our parents as we should. This is a cautionary verse I'm putting up here. Okay? And it applies to all of our relationships with people. That's one we all really need to think about and remember. This is in James. That's in the back of the book. Pretty close. And here's what James says. Among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. For it is set on fire by hell itself. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Now, why am I saying that? We've all heard this at different times. Once you say something, you can't take it back, right? It's out there. There's nothing you can do about it. And if you get emotional and you get worked up and you let your mouth take off and say things, you can wreck a relationship easy. And the one thing we don't want to do is hurt people we love with our words. And we can do it easy. It doesn't take much to do that. I know. I've done it. Okay? Say something unthinking, being in an emotional, maybe an aggravated situation, and say something to another person that you care about that winds up hurting them and rupturing your relationship with that person. Example I thought of, I've probably got a million of them, frankly. Maybe not quite that many, but my own father, okay? When he was in, he was in his 70s. Mom had died. She died when she was 60. Anyhow, my own father, he lived in Huntington. I lived in Huntington, West Virginia. I lived up here like I do now. And once in a while on weekends, I'd go down to see him. I'd go down on Friday night, hang out, stay all night, come back Saturday, okay? Usually that way. So anyhow, what I did is I'd go down there, and Dad, by this time, he had a girlfriend, an older lady, and, you know, they'd go spend time together from time to time. And it was a good relationship they had, and it was good for him, you know. She was a good woman. And several times I'd go down, and he wouldn't be there. And he knew I was coming, okay. So, and I'd get there about 7 or something like that, and 11 o'clock or 11:30 or whatever it was, he'd come into the house. He'd come home. And I used to get a little irritated, you know. And one night I got really irritated. He knows I'm here. He knew I was coming. He's not here again, okay? And anyhow, he came in. I don't know exactly how it started, but I said something to him about, why are you never here when I'm here? Why do I always have to, you know, wait on you till this hour? And he did what he did frequently. He said, he relied on his old age. He said, I'm 65 plus, and I'm 65 plus, and I'm not that well, and so forth and so on, you know. And I told him, I think I stood up, and I said, Dad, there's nothing wrong with you. You're healthy as a horse, blah, 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 blah. Well, he didn't say much about that, okay? He just sort of buttoned up. And we didn't talk too much that night. We didn't talk too much the next day. And I went home, back to Columbus. But I should not have done that, okay? That was an emotional thing I did, And what it did is it put this wedge between me and him. Okay, those words I said, they weren't real mean, but they weren't that honoring either. I wasn't showing that much care for my dad. I paid the price for it too later. Not a big one, but anyhow. What I'm saying is, think before you speak. I may be beating this to death, but it can mean a lot. It can mean a lot whether you do it or don't. I mean, this language in here, you know, it can set your whole life on fire. For it's set on fire by hell itself. It's restless, evil, full of deadly poison. So think before you speak. That's it. Colossians, parents, do not exasperate your children so they will not lose heart. The same thing applies to parents and their children, okay? Think before you speak. Don't just throw something at them. Words. It's almost always damaging. Do not exasperate your children. Why not? So they don't lose heart, okay? Don't push too hard. Be a parent. Yeah, you got responsibilities as a parent. Be a friend, too. Be a pal, if you can, if they'll let you. Again, I got to tell you my own story because that's the only story I got. Me and my dad, we weren't real close, but my mother, it was a different deal. I'd come home once in a while, or I'd be hanging around, and she'd say, "Hey, why don't we sit down and talk?" So, okay, fine. So we had a little fireplace here, and I'd sit on one side, she'd sit on the other. And I can remember to this day, you know, she'd cross her arms, cross her legs, and say, "So how you doing, or what's new," or whatever it was, you know. And I'd talk and answer and give her a couple of questions maybe. But I didn't realize it at the time. I did later. Later on I realized it. She was loving me at that point when she was doing that, okay. She wasn't overly demanding or pushing. She would tell me at times, you know, this has to be done or that doesn't have to be done. But be a parent, but also be a friend to your child. That's important. Let them know you're their friend. Let them know. This may sound silly to you, but it means a lot. It means a lot to kids. Older kids too. And, you know, you can say some good things to your kids, and they will go a long way. You know, you may have a boy, he's growing up, you tell him you got a good head on your shoulder, son. Tell him that once in a while. That can go a long way. It can give him confidence. Believe it, it does. Okay? And you can say bad things to your kids. And you don't have to say too much. So be careful what you say to your kids. Be careful how you raise your kids. Just remember this. God says children are a gift from God. They're a treasure that God has given you and me. And we need to really value them. Now, I'm not talking about handling them with kid gloves at all. But I'm saying, discipline them when you have to, but let them know you love them at the same time when it's appropriate. Don't exasperate your kids. Now, the last thing I want to say on this, as far as parents and their children, not exasperating them, is some of us have exasperated our kids. Don't lose hope. Don't think, well, that's it. I've really blown it with my kid, John, or whoever, or Mary, and our relationship is shot. God can bring reconciliation to situations that you give up on, that you think is, after what I did with her, my God, she'll never even talk to me again. And maybe she won't. My son, I haven't got a son. He wouldn't talk to me for 2 years. Okay, we talk now. We got a good relationship now, all in all. But it's mainly because of God and what He did. But what I'm saying is, if you've already blown it, you got a bad relationship with a parent, a child, or whatever, don't give up. God can bring things together that you never thought possible. And thank God he's that way. That's the only thing I can say, because we all screw up. Give him a chance to do it. Pray. Pray about the situation. Talk to other people, Christian people, mature people that you trust. Ask them what they think. Get their advice, because a lot of them, like myself, have been there. Okay? And you can get help. So don't despair if you're in that situation. Okay, now, employers and employees. He says, slaves. This is dated, guys. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth. Substitute employees in all things, obey those who are your employers or your boss. Okay. Not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart and reverence to the Lord. All right. What this verse is saying basically is work hard even when nobody's watching, right? Do a good job. Have a good attitude. A lot of workers, employees, they will work hard when they know they can be seen what they're doing. But when they're not under the gun or under the being seen, they will slough off. I've done it myself. You guys have done it. But in general, work hard, have a good attitude, get the job done. Because believe it or not, the boss, the employer, he takes note of whether he's got a good employee or a bad employee. It might not surface overnight, but he will find out one way or the other. And a guy that's been around, or a woman who's been around a while as an employer or a boss, they get to where they really value good workers, honest workers, okay? I had a small business one time, and I had service people taking care of things that I was and other people were selling, and I was amazed at the number of people that came into the service department and were service managers in cases that were stealing. They were lying to me, they were lying to the customers, and they were stealing. And believe me, in the end, I really valued good employees. So this is common sense in a way. And don't forget this. Don't forget this. If you're a Christian, whether you like it or not, you are a witness for God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That doesn't stop. It never goes away. You think nobody's looking at you. You think, well, I just blew it and cussed the crap out of that guy and so forth and so on. People take note. If they know you're a Christian, they pay special attention to you. They do. So you are a witness 24 hours a day, whether you like it or not. So be a good witness. Represent the Lord well, because people are looking. It says this, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Don't be a grump. That's what this is saying. Don't be a grump. Have a good attitude. Be pleasant to be around. It's always nice to be around somebody that's got a joke once in a while or something like that. But be pleasant. And remember who you're representing again. And it says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. At the end, when you're in heaven, you're going to be rewarded for everything you've done to promote God's kingdom. So that's the reward he's talking about. And we're serving Jesus as believers. Okay. It says, for he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he's done, and that without partiality. Right here, we're not talking about your relationship with God. We're talking about your relationship with other people. And when you're dealing with other people, there's really no grace, generally speaking. You get what you deserve, or you don't get what you deserve, or what you thought you deserved. So it says, if you do wrong, you're going to get the consequences. Don't expect anything different. There's no grace in the world from men. And this is the last part of this section. He says, masters or employees, grant to your employers or your people justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Pretty easy to understand. God is concerned for the welfare of your employees as he is for you. God loves all people. Treat all people fair. Treat all people well. Because you're a witness. If you got people working for you that aren't believers and they know you're a believer, you are definitely being a witness. And I got a good story for that. Several years ago, I haven't been a believer a long time, but I've been a believer, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, probably five. I had these different papers in my office on different cults and so forth. So I was reading them, and I'd read them, I'd throw them away, I'd throw them in the trash can. And anyhow, this guy was working with me, I found out he was taking these things out of the trash can and reading them himself. Because he was spiritually hungry, I guess. So anyhow, one day, it got dark, I think it was winter, me and him were still in the office together. So something happened, I don't know what it was, but I'm turning the air blue, I'm mad, and I'm letting it be known unrighteously, cussing and so forth. So anyhow, we're locking the place up. We go outside, shut the door. I'm locking with the key, and he says, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You're not supposed to talk like that, are you?" I said, "No." I said, "But I'm not a Christian because I'm good. I'm a Christian because God's good." And he said, "Oh." And he went home. I really believe God gave me those words because I didn't have them. His name was Mike Smith. He became a believer. He wound up in Xenos. He was in a home church and all that sort of stuff. But he was watching what was going on, and he was thinking, "Huh, you're not supposed to talk like that." And he had the guts to ask me, "Why'd you do that?" I told him. Anyhow, you're being watched. That's the message, I guess. So I'm jumping ahead. I'm stealing two verses from next week. Don't tell Adam. Here's what it says. Because this is where this is going. All this talk about behave this way, care about people. People are watching you, okay? Love other people. Think about them. Be kind to them. Be patient with them, okay? Be tender. Think about their welfare. Be a good witness for me. That's what God is saying. So here he is in Colossians chapter 4, and he says, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace. Season your speech with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. God has told us, coming into this passage, how we should treat other people, how we should think, how we should love other people, how we should adopt our new identity and let him grow us. Okay? Because it's good for us. It's good for us to live this way, much better than the way we come up. But he also wants other people to be drawn to us. He wants you to be an attractive person to other people, particularly lost people who don't know him. Okay? People learn about the Lord from other people. People asking you questions. Why are you like that? Mike Smith, you're not supposed to cuss like that or talk like that, are you? But he wants other people to be drawn to us so we can represent him the right way. That's what this verse is all about. So, when people come to you, and ask you a question about this or that or what. How come you got such a good attitude working in this crappy environment? Okay, that's an example. Okay? You can tell them. Because I know the Lord. Because God's blessed my pants off. You know where I ought to be? Or whatever. Okay. So be ready to point other people to the Lord. Because he's going to give you opportunities. Now notice the language in this. It doesn't say at the bottom, let your speech always be with grace as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know what to say to each person. Or what to proclaim to each person. He says, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. The suggestion there is people are going to say something to you. They're going to ask you a question. And they will. I remember doing it myself with a guy who brought me around. Okay. I mean, he was a hard-nosed guy. I was surprised when I found out he was a Christian. I don't know, right? I can't remember right now exactly what I said to him, but I was asking him questions. And yeah, he explained grace to me, and I was astonished. I didn't believe it at the time, but I came around to investigate. Anyhow, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders. Make the most of the opportunity if they're attracted to you. And I'm going to end it right here. This is in 2 Corinthians. He says this. If you're a believer here, if you've only been a believer a week or a day, or 30 years, I don't know, okay? He says this, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. You're born again. You got a new identity. You look the same. You got the same personality, the same history, same thoughts, all that. But you've got a new identity. You are not the same person you were before you accepted Christ. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling other people to God. He gave us this job, ministry. And he says this, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. You guys are ambassadors for the Lord. Every one of you here that knows the Lord. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's a great role to have in this life, to be an ambassador for the Lord. And that's who we are, by the grace of God. So I'm going to end it right there. If you're a first-time guest, there's books over there. They'll give you one of the two books, How Good's Good Enough or Discovering God, both very good books that will teach you, well, if you don't know what it really takes to become a believer, or give you more reasons to investigate Christianity. When you came in, you should have got a feedback card and a little folder. If you got feedback for us, please give it to us. We need it. We read all of them. We're very open to your suggestions on how we can improve what we're doing. Go back there, buddy. If Xenos is your church, we're going to pass a bag around here. If Xenos is your church, feel free to put money in it. If it's not, keep your money, because we don't want your money. We want to give you what we can. Okay, we got 15 minutes left for the kids in the Oasis. They're there till 11:45, so you don't have to pick them up till then. But, hey, pick them up then, 11:45. So anyhow. If you got questions or comments or whatever, hold your hand up. Somebody will bring you a mic. Yeah.
Hey, Kendall. This is actually one of those times I don't want to tell you that you did a good teaching today, because it was kind of I was convicted on all avenues, you know, whether it be the relationship with my wife, with my friends, with God himself, you know, but just convicted in all areas as an ambassador for Christ. I really suck all the time, you know, in the way I treat outsiders, the way I treat people in an inner circle, you know. So this teaching, I'm going to thank you. It was very convicting, and that was a lot. So good job today, buddy.
I got convicted studying it, too, so thanks.
I guess when I was listening to your teaching, one of the things that ran across my mind is one of the things that applies to every one of those relationships that you talked about is being able to admit when you're wrong and apologize to that person for it, especially your kids. There was one time I dressed my son down in public one time, and it's just like, I just had to go back and say, look, man, I am sorry. I should not have done that. Now, what he did was wrong, but you know, there he was in public, and I just let him have it, and it was just like, oh, man. So, you know, that I think, you know, especially for our kids, that apology shows them that, hey, you know, we're not perfect either, and we make mistakes, and I think as parents, we're able to set that example for them when they get older, that they can do the same thing. And even with their own friends as they're going down, being able to admit when you're wrong, as hard as that is, I think that gets miles out of a relationship.
Well, I thank you for bringing it up. I agree with you. I think that's real important. Be willing to apologize. Ask forgiveness yourself. Yeah. Anybody else?
I just wanted to thank you. Again, it's the Sunday where I'm like, were you in my house? What are you doing? Are you a fly on the wall? Do you know what's happening at my house? But, you know, I just wanted to tell everybody there is nothing that is beyond God's reach. Not a one of us, not any of our relationships. And just like you were saying, we booger it up all the time. Be we a parent, a child, an employee, whatever. We always screw it up. And that he is in the business of restoring us and, you know, bringing us back to himself also. And if we lean into him and let him be the leader instead of trying to do it on our own, that he's got this. So thanks.
Thank you. You're right. We can booger up anything. Anybody else? Okay. Well, if you want to pray, stick your hand up in the air. Somebody will bring your mic, and I'll close this up.
Yeah, Lord, I just want to thank you so much for the way you do bring your grace and your forgiveness and your healing into relationships that, you know, have managed to really screw up or fail at. God, you are so good, and you're God of so many chances, God. You just say, come back to me, and I'll pour out my grace on you, and let's go forward. So I thank you for that, Lord, and pray for all of us here, Lord, who, you know, might need to just forgive somebody who's wronged us or ask for forgiveness to somebody who we've wronged. Father, that we would understand what you did for us at the cross, that you've forgiven us everything, and that, you know, we can have healing and we can have relationships that are meaningful and good and loving. And so I just pray for all of us here, Lord, that we would reflect on these truths today and just go about representing you in the relationships that we do have. So thank you for your grace, and your patience with us and your love for us.
Yeah, Lord, I thank you, God, for what's been shared here by these folks, Lord. I think it's very important. And I thank you, God, for just treating us and dealing with us the way you have, Lord, with your love and your grace. That's the only way any of us, I think, would come to you. Otherwise, we'd run and hide. But I do pray and just thank you, God, for today, for these folks, for your word. And I just pray, Lord, that help us to bear in mind what you got in your word for us, and help us, Lord, to be aware that we are a witness 24 hours a day, regardless of where we are, who we're with or not with. So I pray, Lord, give us the words to respond in the right way when it comes up. In your son's name.